The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action in Goran Park. A cracking card to look forward to with a Thiasse's Chase, their feature race. They also have a Grade 2 hurdle and plenty of other good races to look forward to this afternoon. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Good morning, Mark. I'm good, mate. Yeah, looking forward to today. Are you?
Yes, it's a good card this afternoon, isn't it? Especially for a Thursday.
It's a shame this one's not on the actual show itself. I don't want to sound sort of greedy, but yeah, I wish Fagenham was actually off. So we could, not many runners there, in all fairness, to that track. And Gowan was in the schedule today because, yeah, it's a really good informative card. I think pretty much every race at Gowan, maybe other than the handicap, has got some significant factor to races towards the end of the season, Cheltenham Festivals and maybe Grand National. So, yeah, all eyes will be on Gowan today.
Mm. All being well, we'll definitely sneak the Thiasse's in this afternoon, try and squeeze maybe a couple more in, but he's a bit tight with all three English meetings going ahead. But yeah, we will get the big one in, and it's a good race as well, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah, fantastic, yeah. Mm. Looks as though a lot have been laid out for the race, and there's a touch of class in there as well, with Jacques Adam carrying top weight. Interesting that the Gourmoy Hurdle has attracted five small but select horses that all should have some kind of bearing on staying handicap hurdles, particularly amongst land.
Yes. We'll move on to those shortly, though. Don't give the game away just yet. The 115 is the first race that we're going to look at. This is a hurdle over 2 miles for four-year-olds that have not won a Grade 1, Grade 2 or Grade 3 or Wait for Age hurdle. Discosimo is the 2-5 favourite. It's 5-1 for Prussian Eagle. Thunderzone is 11-2. 20-1 for Verowal. 25 for Tarabin. And St Peter's Square is the 100-1 outsider. Discosimo makes his first start for Willie Mullins, Andy. And he's pretty short at the top of the market. Can you take him on here?
It's so difficult, isn't it, to make a clear assessment of a horse like this. Because we just don't know how good he can be. Obviously, trained by Willie Mullins, we know he's going to be fairly good. They don't buy rubbish to that Rich Ritchie setup. Of course, Calico is already proven that he's very much one of the stars of the season so far, juvenile-wise, with his smooth win in a Grade 2 first time out. And I think it's significant that this horse not only represents this stable, winning stable from last year as well. Of course, they won it with Abyssamal. But this horse has also entered in the Grade 2 at Cheltenham on Saturday. And the connections have decided to come for arguably smaller pickings here. He's well bred as well. He's certainly got plenty of stamina in the pedigree. He's a half brother to Katenko and Organised Confusion, two horses that stay 3 miles really well over fences. So stamina is definitely not going to be any kind of concern today. And it was notable that he made virtually all his running as well when he won in Ortoy. His second start as a juvenile last season, of course, went with previous connections. So I'd imagine that Ruby, knowing that he stays really well, will bounce him off in front and try and make the rest go. And none of these that really convince in behind. I must admit, I've seen quite a few of these run now, and none of them look thorough stayers. Prussian Eagle, although he's actually won a race, he was always around about a mile and a quarter horse on a flat on better ground. And I must admit, I was absolutely flabbergasted that he managed to win here early on in November. He beat a horse called Business Savala, who also faded very tamely next time out. So I think he was beaten a weak finisher that day. If anything, I think Thunderzone could be the value without the favourite, because I just thought that he was too keen, and Brian Cooper made far too much use of him in that Frank Knight Grade 2 race at Leopardstown over Christmas, the race at Fiscal Focus won. And the ground was filthy that day. So I've got to give Thunderzone the benefit of the doubt and give him a chance to perhaps finish second to the favourite.
Okay, Thunderzone 6-4 in the betting without Discosimo. But as you mentioned, Willie Mullins has won the last two renewals of this with French imports. Decora in 2013 at 2-5 and Abyssal last year at 2-9, so it's a similar story really, isn't it?
Well, it's just significant that he runs that kind of horse, isn't it, in a race like this. He's obviously got plenty of previous, and he knows what kind of horse he needs for a race like this. And I think, you know, Willie Mullins would like a juvenile hurdle of some repute. It's gone fairly, you know, many seasons by now that Willie Mullins has another winner of the Triumph Hurdle. Probably largely to do with the fact that he has a lot of French breeds that are stayers in essence, and I think the ones that he takes over usually get outpaced around Cheltenham. Maybe not all, you know, it's not the end of the world if this one doesn't get to the festival, but he's an interesting recruit all the same.
The 145 is the second race on the card. This one is a maiden hurdle over 2 miles, and Royal Caviar heads the market. It's another Rich Ritchie runner trained by Willie Mullins. That's 4-9 this time, so another short one. La Hague is 5-1, 6-1 for Cliff House. See Me Here and Touchan are both 14, 16s for Fulton, and 20-1 or bigger prices for the others. Royal Caviar was a bumper winner and made a pretty encouraging start over hurdles when second behind Windsor Park, Andy. That form stands out here, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. I think this form is actually now beginning to catch my attention. It didn't on the day because I thought Windsor Park was workmanlike rather than massively impressive. But subsequent events of the ones in behind have suggested to me that maybe I need to have another look at this form, and maybe Windsor Park could be a real candidate for the Neptune if Royal Caviar wins, as you'll suggest today. We've already seen Fletcher, who was sixth, and the seventh horse, Lena Eye, both go on to win subsequently, and indeed in impressive fashion. And Royal Caviar was probably the one that was the biggest eye-catcher in this race, because he swept to the front with a swift manoeuvre, ran in the home turn in the hands of Ruby Walsh, and he looked like he was going to go on and win that day, but he jumped the last in front, but biding his time in behind was Davy Russell, who pounced on him over the last and went away in the closing stage. And I thought Royal Caviar just blatantly didn't stay the trip. Therefore, I think it's a good manoeuvre for Willie Mullins to drop him back in distance here today to 2 miles. And he's probably just about got the beating of this lot. He's got the most classiest profile in that form, and that, obviously that Leopardstown race stands out. He's just because he's looked a little bit of a brittle finish on one or two occasions, he's just not the horse I want to be trusting at 4-9. And I'd probably go with Cliff House each way here. He's a horse I've tipped quite a few times on the flat on the podcast, and he's always run consistently well. He's a decent animal on the level, rated 80, and I thought he made a promising start to his hurdling career down in Limerick. Now, he was beaten fair and square that day when sent off 4-1 second favourite behind the strongly fancied My Hometown, but I do think he was up against a decent standard of horse that day. I think Christy Roach's charge is a proper chase in the making and looked a real strong stayer. And Cliff House did really well because he kept on quite well for pressure. And, you know, he come out of a genuine third best. You know, he's no slouch, Cliff House. And if the favourite, once again, doesn't quite see out his race, which is always lurking at the back of my mind, despite the drop back in trip, then I think 6-1 for Cliff House looks the obvious alternative each way.
Okay, the 2:15 is the third race on the card. This one is the Galmoy Hurdle, which is a Grade 2 over 3 miles. Monksland heads the betting at 5-4, 9-4 for Briar Hill. Zypor is 11-2. The Digout is 6-1 and 14-1 for Cause of Causes. Recent form ties 4 of these together. Monksland getting the better of the Digout, Zypor, and Briar Hill in the Leopardstown Christmas Hurdle. Andy, do you see that form being upheld here?
I think so, yeah. I'm a massive fan of Monksland. I always have been. I've always rated him very highly, like Narmid has. And I'd stood on a massive anti-post voucher going into the Cheltenham Festival in 2013 off the back of Monksland's superlative performance in the Woody's DIY Christmas Hurdle when he beat Zaypor and So Young very convincingly. I think I backed him at 25-1 or 33-1. And he was trading around about 8-10-1 chance going into Cheltenham. And a couple of weeks before the race, unfortunately, Normie reported that this horse missed the gig due to an injury. Now, that's obviously clearly manifested itself, and he's been off the track for the best part of 2 years. And he came back, made a real good impression on his return when he finished third behind Lieutenant Colonel in the very same race that he was victorious in 2 years previously. And I like the way he's shaped. He certainly wasn't given a hard time. In a fairly slowly mundane run race, the front two kicked clear off the back of mediocre fractions, and they basically got first run on the rest of the field. Now, Monksland was actually last jumping two out, and he was still six jumping the last, so he did really well to finish third. Certainly, I'm convinced that on those findings, he should uphold the form with the Digout, Zypor, and Briar Hill, who all had every chance. And he certainly wasn't unduly punished as well. So, even though the old bounce factor's ringing in your ears here, I don't think he was given an overly hard race. Like I said, they didn't go overly quick, and he just quickened up really from two out. So, it could have been a more punishing test than he faced on the day. So, he should actually come on for the run rather than go backwards. And this is basically his to lose. And I think if he does win this today, as expected, he could really put himself into the shop window for the World Hurdle, which is very much up for grabs at the moment. Obviously, the Cleve Hurdle is going to tell us more over in this side of the Irish Sea on Cheltenham on Saturday. But yeah, Monksland could certainly put his name in the frame after a win today.
Okay, Monksland then in the 2.15. The 2.45 is the fourth race on the card. This is a Martinstown Opportunity Handicap Hurdle. It's over 2 miles and 1 furlong. And High Expectations is the 11-4 favourite. 5-1 for Maguire's Glen. Railway Tommy 5s as well. 7-1 for Dick Dundee. 11s into 8s for Clonban and Ladd. College Boy is 10-1. 12-1 for Dillian and Black and Amber Vic. And then 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. A nice competitive race. Andy, who'd you like in the 2.45?
Well, I wouldn't be mad keen on High Expectations at the price. 4-year-olds, ain't hoping handicaps at this time of year. Always interesting, but I do think they're vulnerable as well, particularly when the ground's on the heavy side. They probably haven't got the strength and the power to go through the ground some as the older horses have. And although he won the other day on soft ground at Naas, today's conditions at Garran will be far more testing at that. Garran's always really bad when the ground's heavy, and I think this will be a supreme test for this 4-year-old. And to be fair, that race at Naas wasn't all that good anyway. He beat a horse called As Good As Gold, who doesn't win very often and doesn't find as much off the bridle as he often does look like he's going to. So I'm going to pass him over. And the key form line for me here is this race at Punchestown on the 31st of December. If the race it was won by Sorted Out. He beat Gallant Oscar, who we'll get onto, of course, in the Thyestes Chase in the next race. Following up to Carlo, my old favourite, was back in third. And he ran really well at Leopardstown, as anticipated, on Sunday, back over fences. But back in fourth was Maguire's Glen, who was absolutely smashed up to smithereens in the betting that day. He's back from 10-1 into 9-2. And although he finished fourth and failed to collect the money for those of us who backed him each way, he certainly come out of the race with great credit. He only got beat 4 lengths in a really strongly run race as well. They went a good gallop that day. The speed figure was very good. And like I say, clearly this horse is the one to beat for me here. I'm amazed that he's third favourite. I'd have him in favourite here. I think he's got the best form. So 5-1 for William Hill. Definitely is worth snapping up. Noticeably, he's got all his best form over 2.5 miles. But as I said, the ground will be really bad here today. So I do think you need a horse that gets beyond 2 miles. So this 2 mile one on a stiff track will definitely suit him. If you're going to have a little bit of a saver, well, why not have a saver on Clonban and Ladd, who finished sixth in that aforementioned race. He was doing all his best work at the end. And probably, he's worth considering. He's got some good form here over fences as well. His last run here at Garham yielded a second. So, and I notice he's been nibbled out in the betting this morning. So definitely two against the field. The main one would be Maguire's Glen if you just wanted to play one. But for those that just want to conjure up with another, just in case the wheels come off from Maguire's, Clonban and Ladd's the other one.
Okay. The 3.15 is the big race of the afternoon. This is the Thyestes Handicap Chase, which is a Grade A event over 3 miles and 1 furlong. Jack Adam heads the market at 4-1, 9-2 for Gallant Oscar. Saddler's Floor is 10-1 with The Job Is Right. Gooniella 11s with Grudy Hill, who's been back from 14s this morning. Maker Track is 16-1 with My Murphy, and then Oscar Business also 16-1 with Swordfish and The Lobster Catcher, and then 20-1 or bigger prices for the others. As open as you'd expect, Andy, great racing prospect. Who do you side with in the big one?
Well, it's obviously notable that Willie Mullins has decided to go down the same route as he did last year, with On His Own, of course, who won it 12 months ago, went on to finish an incredible second in the Gold Cup following his win in the Thyestes. And top weight here is Jack Adam, a horse that Rich Ritchie, Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh hold in the highest esteem. The fact that he was sent off 5-1 favourite to win the Hennessy obviously indicates that that's very much how a lot of punters think that way as well. Whether he lives up to the expectations of Connections in due course is obviously open to question. It's just a matter of the trip for me with this horse. I do think he's got a lot of class. Up to now, his best form's been over 2.5 miles, as he showed at Leopardstown in a Grade 2 last year, and the way he was travelling before falling at the fourth last in the JL2 last year beyond Taquin de Soy. He basically didn't get home at Newbury. Everyone can see that. He went really well throughout, but after a little bit of a mistake, 3 out and 2 out, he faded quite tamely. So 3-mile-1 carrying top weight round here. This will be a Herculean performance by Jack Adam. Make no mistake, this will definitely push him in towards sort of like fringes of the Gold Cup material if he manages to win this. But at the same time, he has to win this really to be considered as a genuine Grade 1 performer. I'm going to pass him over here because I'm not totally convinced he's going to get the trip here today. And there's just a horse that stands out like a beacon here to me. Receiving a stone off the favourite, Gallant Oscar basically ticks every single box you were looking at here. Trained by the master of Irish handicappers, Tony Martin, and he comes here with an almost typical Irish profile in the sense he's been running over hurdles all season. They've obviously been protecting his handicap mark. This is just basically screaming at you that this race has been laid out for this horse. The last time that he ran over fences seriously and he stayed on his feet, of course, when he won the Leinster National, staying on very strongly, travelled like a dream through that race, always looked the winner. Unfortunately, he unseated riding the Irish National in his last start, but he gets a chance to run off a mark of 133, which is his last handicap mark over fences. It was a cracking run the last day over a trip which is inadequate at Punchestown. Hopefully, Maguire's Glen in the race before will advertise that form again. And they've got Barry Geraghty on board. So at 9-2, if he gets a clear round here today, it's hard to see Gallant Oscar not being involved in the finish, and he rates one of the best bets on the card.
Yeah, Barry Geraghty bidding for his first success in the Thyestes. Hopefully we'll do with Gallant Oscar this afternoon. The 3:45 is the penultimate race of the afternoon. It's a beginner's chase over 2.25 miles, and Smashing is the 8-13 market leader. Upsy is 6-4. It's 12-1 for As It So Happens. Get Out When You Can is 20s. 33-1 for Murphy's Filly, and 40s or bigger for the others. Priced up very much like a match between Smashing and Upsy, Andy. Do you see it that way yourself?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, these two have got some really good form over fences so far. Smashing actually could make up to a Cheltenham Festival horse the way he's going. Certainly one of the handicaps maybe to Prestbury Park in a couple of months' time would definitely be on the agenda for Henry de Bromhead, particularly for trained by Alan Potts, who does love runners at the festival. And so far his career has been very much on an upward curve over the larger obstacles. That third behind Don Polly over today's course looks every bit better than it was on the day. It looked a good race. It rode like a good race. They ran the last circuit faster than Ballycase, who won the Grade 3 race on the same card. Don Polly's gone on to win a Grade 1. The Topaz Novice is chasing. Wounded Warrior lowered the colours of some serious pieces of kit at Navan on Saturday. So Henry de Bromhead's charred finishing third, not beaten far, clearly sets a good standard. And he bumped into Under So last time out at Ferryhouse. So he's been massively unlucky to run up against two Cheltenham Festival favourites in the shape of the Arkle favourite and the RSA favourite. So this really should be a straightforward task. But he's up against Upsy here, a mare who obviously receives all the allowances as being a female. And she ran a cracking race of the day in a fast-run race down in Limerick. They really did turn it on that day. And I've got a lot of time for the winner, Drumnea, who were tipped on William Hill Radio the other weekend when he won on the Sunday. So it's a real like pull of my heartstrings here, and I don't really know which one to go to, really. I'd expect probably Smashing to win, because I just think he's probably got the best track form, the best overall form, and just slightly better speed figures than Upsy. But it's a race, really, I wouldn't have a bet in, because there's not much upside, 8-13, 6-4, but the selection has to be Smashing, just because I think he's got the best overall profile.
Okay, Smashing the nominated selection for Andy in the 3:45. The 4:15 is the final race this afternoon. We finish with a 2 mile bumper, and Stonehard is 2-5 at the top of the market. 9-4 for Rio Treasure. Shady Rondo is 16s, 20s for Bally Bryan, and 3 Oscars is the 33-1 outsider. Stonehard, very interesting here, Andy. Cost €215,000, half brother to winning chaser in the Dorman, won its point to point when trained by Gordon Elliott, and made a winning start for Willie Mullins in a bumper with a very impressive debut at Ferryhouse. Looks a future chaser, Andy, but looks like he can take a hand in the bumpers as well at this moment.
Yeah, Giggingstown have got a really strong hand, haven't they, with their bumpers this season. We've seen a whole host of their horses in these colours, trained by Willie Mullins, going to win it. He's got an embarrassment of riches in this department again, and I'm sure he'll have 3 or 4 in the Cheltenham bumper rather than usually the one, which he has done in previous seasons, because I just don't think Willie even knows himself which is the best. You know, the fact that Bri Hill won it 2 years ago when sent off a 33-1 shot basically tells you that, you know, he basically just runs alpaca horses, and just whichever one comes out the best on the day, so be it. I mean, he comes from a great family, doesn't he? Robin Deschamps, horses like Sir Deschamps, Cuvega, Vator, Under 2, they've all, you know, floated the flag for Willie Mullins in the last few seasons or so. And this Stonehard certainly looks as though he's going the right way off the back of that win in Ferryhouse when he cruised to the front in the hands of Patrick Mullins, and he strode majestically clear in the latter stages. It wasn't a particularly good time. He didn't beat a lot, but he can only beat what's put in front of him, so the old saying goes. But I actually don't think this will be as straightforward as the market suggests here. 2-5, 9-4. I think that's absolutely crazy, and a real insult to his stable companion and my selection here, Rio Treasure. Now, Rio Treasure has already got really good form on the board here. Actually, better form for me than Stonehard. That third in a red-hot race at Ascot, particularly on the figures, reads much better than what Stonehard has already achieved, and that's one of the reasons why I do think this horse is overpriced. The winner, I think, is a real super horse, that Super Sunday. He's now gone to Henry de Bromhead, and he goes straight to the champion bumper. I don't normally bet in the champion bumper, but I've had a few quid on Super Sunday. It was wildly impressive on the day. They pull well clear, him and Yanworth have a very good feel that day. Back in fourth was Final Nudge, that's won subsequently. The fifth horse was Thistle Crack, that's won subsequently. Two out of two so far for the horses, well strung out over Ascot that day. So Rio Treasure, as I said, finishing third, represents the best form. And I certainly think whatever happens, she'll give the favourite a massive, massive shock in the last.
Okay, good stuff. Let's have a quick summary, Andy, as usual, if you'll spin us through your selections for Garran Park one more time.
Yeah, tremendous day at Garran Park. I think we'll see plenty of good horses on show and lots of Cheltenham Festival clues. Starting with DeCosmo in the first, that should win. If not, then maybe Thunder Zone will chase it home. Raw Caviar looks the one in the 145, but he's just too short for me, so I'm going to put up the obvious each-way horse, Cliff House, as an alternative. One of the best bets on the card has to be Monksland, who ran a blinder the other day at Leopardstown, and he should come on significantly for the run and put his Cheltenham claims in the shop window. Really keen on Maguire's Glen each-way in the 245. Hard to see him not being thereabouts in the Martinstown opportunity. Gallant Oscar looks an obvious each-way choice in this Diestis chase. Smashing in the 345 has the best form and might just get the better of Upsy, but I wouldn't put my house on it. And in the final race, the big clash of the day, one of the big clashes of the day, is the Stabber Companions in the last. Stonehard against Rio Treasure, that's a real mouth-watering affair. And I really do fancy Rio Treasure to give Stonehard plenty to think about.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck today and enjoy the action in Garran Park.
Thanks, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.